Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's open our Bibles in John chapter 5, verse 1, all the way to verse 15. If you have the book, say amen. If you have an iPhone, say amen. iPad? No? BlackBerry? Nobody uses BlackBerry anymore, right? No. They're like, BlackBerry, what's that? Okay. John chapter 5, verse 1. And the Bible says, afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda, with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, laid on the porches. Now, I want you to imagine the pool of Bethesda. I want to make a picture in your mind about this place where blind, lame, and paralyzed people laid on the porches. They were just there surviving, right? Verse 5, one of the men lying there had been sick just for 38 years. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Will you like to get well?" And verse 7, "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Have you ever felt like somebody else always gets there before you? And Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed, and he rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath, so the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" "Who said such a thing as that?" they demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now you are well, so stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. Amen. See, this place, the Pool of Bethesda, it was a place where people that were sick or were having a physical need were expecting for a miracle in their bodies. Now, I want you to tell you something. I've heard some preachers say before, you know, about this Pool of Bethesda, that God used that Pool of Bethesda to heal people. But that's not true. That Pool of Bethesda was there, and they were worshiping and expecting a miracle from another God, but not our God. Listen to this. Archaeologists have found a pool that corresponds to John's description and have found evidence of a temple to the Greek god of healing, which name is Asclepius. And this will explain why the pool was at such a malodorous place as a sheep market, in the city, but outside the city walls, since a pagan temple was not allowed inside Jerusalem. So it is also known that Asclepia had pools which the god will occasionally come by and disturb the waters so that the first to enter the water will be cured. So I'm glad that this is not a pool that my God created for miracles. Because if this was a pool that my God created for miracles, I cannot imagine being that man laying in that same place for 38 years just waiting for an opportunity to get healed. My God doesn't treat us like that. See, this man was at the Pool of Bethesda. And he was looking for the right answer. He was looking for the right thing at the wrong place. And you know, the world out there is looking for joy. It's looking for freedom. It's looking for all the good things, but they're looking sometimes at the wrong place. And God wants to tell us this morning that all of those things are good things, but we gotta look for those things in the right place. So I'm glad that you came to church this morning, because let me tell you something, you are in the right place today. This is where God is, and His Holy Spirit is moving in this sanctuary, and you are in the right place. And you know, when you are in the right place, that when God can do a lot of things in your life and through your life. How many say amen to that? So this was a place where all these people were paralyzed, blind, lame people, people that were destroyed, people that were rejected, people that nobody wanted to do nothing with them. Can you imagine this man for 38 years? He was living the same life. He was going through the same misery. He was going through the same frustration. He was, you know, feeding his heart with the same things day by day by day, just expecting to someone to come and help him. Now, my question is, where is the church? Where is the people? Because everybody knows that there is the pool of Bethesda where all these people are. See, we all know what's going on in that town. We all know what's going on in the worst places of Shreveport and Bossier. We know. The question is, what are we doing to change their reality? What are we doing to change the reality of their day-by-day lives? What are we doing to change their minds and their hearts and introducing to them Jesus Christ as their Savior? What are we doing? Where is the church in this scripture? What is the Christians? Where are the disciples of Jesus? Because this man has been there for 38 years. 38 years. He was not born with that disease. So we know he was older than 38 years. And this is what really amazes me. You know, because Jesus, when he heard about this man, when he heard that he was there for 38 years, the Bible said that he wanted to go where he was. So Jesus went where the man was, and Jesus came and asked him, "Do you want to get well?" You know, I mean, that was a great day for this man. I mean, the Son of God is coming to the pool of Bethesda. And, you know, there's another people there, but Jesus chose this man right in particular. And he has something, you know, for him, and he has a healing miracle. And he said, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to get healed?" And the man starts saying, "Well, you know, Jesus, I can't." He said, "Well, what do you mean you can't?" "Well, you know, there is nobody who can help me to get to the pool when the water starts, you know, running or bubbling or stir up or however you say it, you know. There is nobody who can help me to get to the pool." And, you know, sometimes we are like that. Sometimes we make so many excuses to God. You know, sometimes I heard people, you know, who say, "Well, you don't know what happened to me, Pastor, when I was 3 years old." Guess what? You're now 50 and you're still living when you were 3 years old. What's going on with you? It was the same attitude of this man. You know, he was saying, I mean, there is nobody who can help me. I mean, you have the Son of God in front of you, and he's asking you if you want to get well. He's not worried about what you did 6 months ago. What did you do last night? What were your sins? What are you going through? He doesn't care about that. The only question he has for you this morning, Northport Point Community Church, is if you want to get well. He's not asking you, what did you do last night, yesterday, last week? What were your sins? What are you going through? He doesn't care about that. He is here this morning, and he's asking you if you want to get well. Because if you want his blessing, he can bless you today, here, right now. You don't have to wait, because my Bible says in verse 9 that instantly the man was healed. Oh, I have a problem. I got to say this. I said it in the first service, and I got to say it again. I have a problem. Sometimes I know it's only in the Spanish Christian TV. Okay? So you can blame everything on the Spanish people. That's okay. But sometimes I turn the TV, you know, with its televangelist, you know, and they're saying, give to God $100 and he will give you $10,000. Now, if you are preaching that, and you believe that, why don't you take $100,000 yourself, give it to God, and he will give you $1,000,000. And you don't need to ask for more money. Okay. But then there is the other thing. I see, you know, miracles and people from a wheelchair, you know, they stand up and everything, and they are not even healed when the preacher is saying, get up. You know, God is healing you. And then, you know, you can see the people that they're struggling. They can't. And then they say, well, it's a process. You've been in that wheelchair for 20 years. How long is it going to take for you to recover? Well, that's not what my Bible says. The Jesus that I serve has power. He doesn't need a process for you to get healed. The Bible says in verse number 9 that instantly, the man was healed. Either he healed you or you're not healed. It's not like you're medium healed or you're in the process of being healed. There's no such thing. Or you are healed or you're not healed. You're still sick. And that's what Jesus does. You know, instantly the man was healed, and he rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. Come on. I don't know if you understand what the Bible is saying. I mean, this man has been there for 38 years. He's been suffering. He's been rejected. He doesn't have nobody in his life. Maybe he never got married. He lives a frustrated life. He sleeps there at the pool of Bethesda because the Bible said that he was carrying his mat. He was going everywhere, you know, with his mat. That was everything he owned. And now he received the miracle from God, and now the religious leaders, when they see him, the first thing they ask him is, who did that? Because it's Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to work. What are you doing? You know, that's what I'm frustrated about religion. Because religion doesn't let you see more, you know, or don't let you see what God is really doing in people's life. You know, religion only let you see whatever you want to see on people's life, but you cannot see what God is really doing in people's hearts. When somebody comes to church for the first day and they're wearing something that you don't like, be quiet. Your religion can take them out of church. Let the Holy Spirit work in them and through them, and then you focus on yourself. Focus on yourself. because, you know, I come from a religious background. I know this only happens in El Salvador. That's why I'm talking, you know, this free right here, because I feel like there is no one here that is so religious. But in my country, you got to wear a tie and you got to wear a suit to preach the word of God, and you want to be so religious. And I know people with tie and suits who are always criticizing, who are always talking about others. And I know young people with no suits, no tie, you know, with shorts and flip-flops that really love the Lord. And now these leaders are just focusing on, you know, who did it? Who did it? Why? Why? And the man who was healed was not even saved by the moment. And you can say, you can tell that because of what the Bible says. You know, there was a problem with this man. And the problem with this man was excuses all the time. He liked to justify, you know, his condition and always justify his condition. He was always looking for someone to blame. He was always looking for someone that, you know, he can blame for this, for how he was living his life. They asked him, who did it? And you know what he replied? He said, the man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk. The same attitude he had when he met Jesus. Do you want to be healed? Well, you know, I can, because same attitude. But now he's healed. I was watching a documentary last morning, about Steve Bartman. Do you remember Steve Bartman with the Chicago Cubs? 1993, probably if you see his picture, you will remember him. Do you remember him? There were the national finals of Major League Baseball. The Chicago Cubs were winning 3-0, 8th inning, 2 outs. They never won a championship. The last time they won a championship was in 1945. And the hitter hits a foul. And when the baseball was coming to the crowds, Steve Bartman, my friend, he, you know, put his hands on the baseball, and the baseball didn't, you know, so the third base couldn't catch the baseball. And they lost 8-3. But everybody in the stadium was blaming Steve Bartman for what had happened that day. And Steve Bartman became one of the most, you know, named persons in United States those couple of weeks after that. And Steve Bartman, they had to come to call the security guys to escort him to his house because they wanted to kill him. Because you know what? Human nature is always trying to blame someone else for something that you have to take responsibility of. And so the whole stadium in Chicago, they were blaming this great young man. You know, it's been more than 10 years that happened, and they don't even know if he's still alive. He hid himself from the world. He didn't do nothing. It was just everybody was trying to blame somebody for their loss. You know, Jesus paid for your sins and for my sins. He carried everything in the cross for you and for me. He didn't hide like Steve Bartman. He went to the cross in front of the whole world to carry your past, your failures, your sins, everything that is in your life. You know, he carried that in the cross. So now you and me can have eternal life. So now you and me can have healing, can have blessings, can be, you know, someone that he wanted us to be. And we don't have to blame nobody else for our sins. We got to take responsibility of our actions. We got to be who God says that we are. And this man didn't know what to do, so the Jewish leaders were trying to find out who did it. And then Jesus showed up, and he told this man, now you are well, so stop sinning. See, it was not about a healing miracle, but it was about a sinning situation. Jesus wanted to show this guy that he had the power to heal him, but more important, that he had the power to give him eternal life. In other words, Jesus said, it's time for you to stop justifying for your life. It's time for you to start saying the truth. It's time for you to start living the life that you were meant to be, or something even worse may happen to you. Because now you know who I am. Because now you have the revelation of who Jesus is. So now you don't have any excuses. You can't be living the way you were living before. You can't go back to the pool of Bethesda because you're now healed. Now you got to start living the life that I want you to live. I want you to know that you are now justified. If you don't believe it, if you don't live it, you're going to get worse. See, I used to hear so many people say, well, God is good. Yeah, God is good. And he created hell for sinners. Well, God is love, Pastor. Yeah, he's love. He loves us. He has given us the opportunity to be here this morning. But if you don't take this word and if you don't take his love, you're going to be in trouble. I'm going to be in trouble. Well, the mercy and the love of God, yeah, they're still there. But what I mean is, you know, God is not only love and mercy and everything is going to be okay. We need God. And the time is today. And the day is now. Because we don't know about tomorrow. And that's why we are here in the church. You know, see, that's why you came this morning. Because you know that you need God in your heart. You know that you need him. So take this word with you and take the words that Jesus is saying for you. Stop now sinning. That's a word that I took for me. I said, God, forgive me for all my sins. Because I already have a revelation from you when I was reading this and said, stop sinning. I know who you are. If I keep doing wrong, worse things are going to come to my life. And I don't want to say this, you know, in this matter. I don't want to preach a message of judgment, but that's what the Bible says. And then the man, yes, amen. Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. Oh, okay, Jesus, now I understand. Let me go tell them. Let me face my problems from now on. Let me take responsibility of my actions. Let me do what I have to do. And I'm going to tell the leaders who healed me. His name is Jesus. Let me go share. Let me go do what I'm supposed to do. You know, the same Jesus that healed this man is here this morning, and he knows what you're going through. It doesn't matter if you're going through the same thing for 38 years. He has come this morning to North Point Community Church to do a miracle in your life. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Because the same Jesus who healed this man, who gave him this lesson or principles of life, is the same Jesus that is here. Jesus is our prophet. He is our redeemer. He is the Son of God. He is the Holy One. He is the King, our highest priest. He is our stone. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is wonderful, counselor, mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Messiah, the Son of David, our Master, the Word, the Creator, the Light, the Lamb of God. He is the Bread of Life. He is the Door, the Good Shepherd, the Resurrection. resurrection, the way, the truth, the life, our Lord, our rock, our peace, the chief cornerstone, the mediator, the captain of our salvation, the author and finisher, our day star, eternal life, the Alpha and Omega. He is almighty. He is the first and last. He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. And he is here this morning for you. Phil, help me please with the keyboard. Let's stand up. We're going to pray.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you would like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.